108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. A lovely day here, and just love this place. And this place being America, we know still she's great. And like I had promised last week, Eric Ryan is back with me, the Hawaii Republican Assembly, and HIRA is the name. And we are going to be honest with you, didn't make many notes. I figured that there are many of you out there for the next 2 hours would like to exchange comments and ideas and may have some insight or outside insight or whatever you call it, because I watched the experts over the last couple of months, and man, they knew everything on the left. Man, they had it. They pinned it down, knocked it out of the park. So, welcome. But I wanted to say one thing, guys. America, it's okay. If you just, especially the liberal side, don't worry, don't stress out, because, you know, black people have been able to weather this storm for a long time, you know. And I know there's a great degree of fear that you're going to have a mass incarceration. We've survived that. Being deported, we've survived that. You know, it leaves you a little nervous and a little chip on your shoulder, but you'll get through it. Don't worry about it. And so, welcome to the world of blackness, just for the next 2 months or 3 months, and then I think it's a positive thing for the whole America, and that we've told you so, and we've cried to you, and a couple of brothers got choked out for selling cigarettes and CDs, and shot, and brains blown out, and you know, and nobody's found guilty. Don't worry about that. Giuliano, he can't rise to that occasion or to that level. So don't stress out now. You know, just if you see a black man or black woman walking down the street, you might want to sit down and share a cup of coffee and ask him, how in the hell did you survive this and still want to live in America and still call yourself an American? Take it away, Mr. Hiram.
Good morning, Carol. Well, my goodness.
That's shocking, I'm sure, right now. You should have seen the power surge went down there at HECO. Everybody turned the radio off and go, who is this radical guy?
Yeah, I think that's what they did. Well, I got to say, here in Hawaii, we've had one-party rule by Democrats for 62 years, and it's not utopia. So the first thing I do to reassure anybody that's bummed out about Hillary not winning and before that Bernie Sanders not winning is, well, just take a look at Hawaii and ask yourself, with 50% of people living paycheck to paycheck and with the cost of living running through the roof, super high taxes, gigantic government that we have to pay and unfunded mandates, that's a sneak preview of what Hillary and Bernie would have wanted to deliver. Now, put aside the, say, important issues of, say, racial equality and selective enforcement of laws and all these things that, you know, suddenly seem to matter.
Is that like taking the lime out of key lime pie, put it aside for a bit?
You can do that, you know. It's a cream cheese is on its own is pretty good if you're a dairy addict like I am. But I get your point. Not to be lost in it. But really, at the end of the day, the policies that one side or the other is going to implement is what's going to affect your life on a daily basis. And here in Hawaii, you know, we're just one of 50 states. Yes, we are a state. We're one of 50 of them. And each state is allowed to have its own approaches to things. We have fully embraced in Hawaii the Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton ideology at our state level, our county level, and our four representatives to Congress. And so we already have it good here in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. All of that stuff's happening now, which is why everyone's starving and living paycheck to paycheck. So I would caution the people on street corners holding up signs, you know, calling in sick to their jobs and living on their mom's couch but still being mad at the world and having these protests right now, that you've got exactly what they were promising here in Hawaii. And if you want to really export this level of suffering to the other 49 states, you keep on protesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like I say, I made no notes, and I 524-1080 is the number, and if you call up, we're not trying to be mad at one another, and don't care, you know. But it's Sunday morning, the storm blew through, and we're making an assessment: how many trees blew over, and how many trailer homes, you know. So, yeah. But the reality is, talking about living from paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
And Hawaii is a good thing. And then, to borrow a term from most of the Republicans, we got too much fat, too much, you know, welfare and all. So help me out with this one here.
Sure.
Now, there's how many active Republicans are there in the state legislature now, Senate and
well, before the election a week ago, we had 8.
Okay.
Now we have 6.
Okay. And how impactful have they been, or are they, on the state legislations and the laws and developing laws and the interests of people?
Well, if you ask the ones that consistently vote with the Democrats and make you wonder why they're even Republicans, their brochures, their speeches, if they were on the show, they would be telling you that they're very effective, working hand-in-hand with Democrats, getting things done like bringing home the bacon to their district. You know that basketball court that needed paving? Yeah, well, I did that, you know, in exchange for supporting all of these really grotesque things that the majority party were pushing. So for the most of them, they'd probably say they work real close to Democrats. They're very effective, and they are the epitome of why we have a two-party system.
Now, so and carrying that line a little bit further, so if you only have eight.
Now down to six.
Now down to six. And those eight going back before the election,
yeah, sure.
They weren't impactful or had any influence on legislation and what have you. So would you could you possibly describe that as welfare? Because they ain't doing a damn thing. They ain't effective in the state legislature. And so here are the very people that talk about cutting welfare and getting people off welfare and big government. You got eight Republicans, ain't
right.
Done a damn thing, can't do anything. And then they turn and bring in Alec and all of that other crap. And you know, it's kind of funny. I laugh at it, but it's like, so Gene
right.
Ward
yes.
is the master of welfare. Because he didn't do anything, hadn't introduced a bill that passed or anything, so he's just sucking a tit of the public.
Well, while you do want me to completely embrace your hypothetical analogous situation.
Oh, the bull
here,
or the cow?
Yes. Well, I'm sure you want me to embrace that. Let me just try and twist it in a new direction. Honestly speaking, if in a representative democracy, you know, you've got that huge imbalance, yes,
uh-huh.
you're going to have a powerlessness in the minority, which is extremely powerless here in Hawaii because you've got these committee chairs at the state legislature who bottle things up, at the city
mm-hmm.
council who bottle things up. But if we take what you're saying,
mm-hmm.
that if you're in that small political position to the logical extreme, which is if they're in the minority, they're like on welfare,
mm-hmm.
well, then that's an advocate. You're advocating eliminating them.
No, I'm not. I'm advocating
yeah.
to either get smart
yeah.
and be competitive
yes.
and give the people something and stay out of their bedrooms and their Bibles and all that other stuff. And then
right.
if you are viable
yeah.
and have viable ideas and ideas that's going to benefit the whole, you
oh,
never
sure.
can be 100%.
Because
there's always
no.
going to be a Carol Cox in the bunch you can't satisfy.
It's unfortunate.
You,
yes.
you don't. But again, just to, you know, I offer that because this is where we are today. This
yeah.
is how we got to voting for Donald Trump. People disseminating crap in the air, and they're guilty of the very things that they so easily
right.
talk about and try to portray and say to themselves, this is America.
Right.
Well, I can tell you right now,
yes.
if the Republicans want to take back America, And I'm glad they do want to take back America because I want to get rid of the ghosts that took it. Because, you know, they may take over something else. They may take my body, my mind, my soul. I just want, if the Republicans
yeah.
can take back America, can you imagine? That means we'll get rid of this corrupt Democratic Party. You know, the ones that's self-serving. And, I mean, if you know me, I beg that
right.
there be a viable, a healthy Republican
yeah.
Party, but not the Gene Ward who run around in his whole speeches about hate and about this and that that doesn't benefit anybody but the religious right and himself.
Mm. Well, if I may, some of the phony narratives that are out there
mm-hmm.
Really need to be addressed because they're very misleading. And I'm not saying that you just gave any of it, but I am no fan at all of Charles DeJoux. I find him to be a closet Democrat and a liberal on so many issues that too many to count. But the way that Democrats in Hawaii attacked him to keep him from winning the mayorship was they portrayed him as a Tea Party Republican and as a guy voting for all of these cuts, and he is against everything from Medicare to Medicaid and whatever. Point is, this guy also got hit with stuff like he's a religious zealot. Now, that's a narrative you can use against, you know, Republicans with a strong social conservative bent.
Wait a second. There's a lot of Democrats that are religious zealots, and I mean, they scare me right here in this state.
Well, I don't like the word zealot here because
but
I know what you're saying. No, there are social conservatives on both sides. But the thing is, Charles DeJoux not a social conservative, mm-hmm. voted to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell so gays could serve openly, mm-hmm. right? And was basically AWOL for the local debate on civil unions and same-sex marriage, and to preserve his credentials with the moderate, you know, liberal community. Yet the point is that Democrats, to beat him in this election, used those talking points against him, which were inapplicable. He's not a Tea Party Republican. He's not a religious guy in the social conservative mm-hmm. sense. But they knew that if they bludgeoned him with that, they'd get away with it. Mm-hmm. And they knew the GOP was weak and worthless here in Hawaii and
right.
working
so,
to back him up.
So, okay, I was going to be my question mm-hmm. or speaking to that. So why didn't they rally around him? Instead, it was as though the lion was pouncing on the young zebra, and they all scampered and ran. You know, don't they have values? Don't they have party
yes.
Platforms that they could have supported him?
Yeah.
Did they even appear okay. on the evening news or any favorable radio show to speak and support him? Did they?
Okay, the answers in order are no. No, 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 and wait, yes, no, right. I was going to say maybe, but that last one, no. All of them, no. First thing you need to know, and this is going to blow away liberals on the protest line down by the federal building, Republicans in Kahala, Democrats at the state capitol. Our Hawaii Republican Party is officially neutral on every issue from A to Z. They took a conscious vote 6 years ago, and they've renewed it every year since when they voted on the platform. To be neutral on every issue, to let whoever brave person that steps forward as a candidate, offering him or herself to be thrown to the wolves by this party that provides zero support, it's up to you. You can decide what you stand for on any issue, and that determines what it means to be Republican. So every stereotype, mm-hmm. true or not, that you have of Republicans that's mostly derived from what you see on the mainland and on Fox News and CNN and whatever and from elections, that's all on the mainland. I'm not trying to distance ourselves
right,
from it.
Right.
I'm just telling you, here in Hawaii, official party line by the rhinos, the Republicans name only who run our party, we're neutral on everything. So a Charles DeJoux comes along, says, my big issues are going to be what rail, ethics, and something else. I don't mm-hmm. know, fixing the zoo. I can't remember. It was so meaningless. But the point is, he comes along, and he's under complete attack from all sides. This goes to yeah. your question, did they step up in any way? No.
Yeah.
Now, they did go all in on just his campaign, though, as a party.
Right.
Sending emails to party members. That doesn't cost anything. You just hit send, right. and it goes to all the party members. And, you know, having special meetings just to support him, again, mostly meaningless. But probably the most astounding thing was around the last day of August, first day of September, was that pivotal moment when the Federal Transit Administration said, no, you can't stop at Middle Street.
Mm-hmm.
You need to keep building. You need to raise taxes. You need to do whatever you do to finish. We have a deal. We have a contract with the city and the feds, and you have to finish it. Now, that doesn't mean it can't go to court.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean DeJoux couldn't get elected mayor and have his top lawyer, the corporation council, sue the heck out of the feds and say, well, you guys sold this to us on a bill, you know, this bill of goods based on lies. There's no traffic relief, but people here thought there was going to be traffic relief, and you let this Mufi and those people lie, and we voted for it. So anyway... but on that day, when he decided, basically, I'm going to admit now I'm a clone of Caldwell, and I'm going to build all the way to Alamona Center, I'm going to build to Waikiki, I'm going to build to UH Manoa, and there was absolutely no difference anymore, the damage was done for his chances to win. But his lie, his basic lie that propelled his campaign was that he was going to get into office and fix rail, because everyone's mad at rail. Even Democrats are mad at rail. But he lied by saying, I can get in there and fix it, when he knows he actually wrote the bill, which created HART, which took everything that there is possible about rail out of City Hall, out of the hands mm-hmm. of the mayor, out of the hands of City Council, put it in this faceless bureaucracy called HART in a completely different building in downtown, let them do anything they wanted, basically go over budget, and people believed it. And they believed it right up until Election Day, but he lost because they positioned him as a Tea Party Republican. His base sort of imploded and realized he was full of it, and his own party didn't back him up.
Mm-hmm. Now, you talk about emails and what have you. Now, someone forwarded me an email, and it there's a little dissension amongst ranks within the Republican Party. And let me, I want to be very careful in not maligning the Republicans, because I'm going to tell you up front, I believe the birthplace of corruption is being sought, or someone's out there trying to discover it, put your stake right here in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. This is the birthplace of breeding special people who can just decide, well, I'm going to run for Congress, and okay, and the newspaper says, yay, vote for her, and I'm going to do this. So I want to make sure that nobody think that I'm attacking the Republican. It's just what my observations. Okay. It's all screwed up.
Oh, it is.
You know, but it's public matters. It's public concern.
Right.
So that's why I'm so verbose and say what I say, because it's you know, at the end of the day, if we were pure in, at heart and pure in mind, we would vote our conscience and vote for right, and we wouldn't subject ourselves to the manipulation and the bombardment of emails and ads and all the other stuff and, you know, parties. We'd cherish our vote, hold it, and when the salesmen come to the door and go, ding, you know, did you know that if you have a vote? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Did you know if you vote for this guy, you could get this, this, and this, and this?
Yeah.
But if you vote for that guy, you can't get this, this, and this, and, you know, but what do you think? Oh, okay, he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Never met him. Never tasked him with displaying his real intentions or anything, or just put him through the test. So I want to make sure that when, in our exchange, that the listeners, because I appreciate your willingness to just come and talk. Because this is a Republican Party. If you run for office, they learn from the Democrats. Because you know, But anyway, the biggest concern is that with these emails, I understand they didn't support Charles DeJuice publicly. Did they do any boiler room calls for DeJuice?
Republican
Party.
Yeah, I would say the actual Republican Party, separate from the DeJuice campaign, separate from any little factions or groups, the GOP did a manini amount of effort for DeJuice.
Is that external GOP or the internal Hawaii?
The Hawaii Republican Party on Kapi'olani Boulevard. But the thing is, their organization is so decimated and so dysfunctional, they could send an email out to 20,000 members saying, please help lick stamps on this day, and they'd probably get the same six people that always show up, and that's it. So when you manage a situation and keep it dysfunctional so that you can hold on to power as a top officer, which is what they do, then someone like Charles DeJuice doesn't have the help when he needs it.
Yeah. And with this environment, so the public would know whether it's the Green Party has no chance, because the Independent has no chance here in Hawaii, and the Republican has no chance.
Yes.
If they continue to go out and collect the people that they, it always seems there's one star in every group.
Yeah.
And they don't think with the herd mentality. They think that there's a bigger problem here.
Oh, yeah.
One person is not going to fix it. The Democratic Party, now, you lost the seat, Sam Sloan.
Sam Sloan. And another fellow up on the North Shore in the State House, Veke Puha.
Veke Puha. What happened? I mean, didn't they get the message that Donald was talking?
Well, let me answer you two ways. First, Donald Trump in Hawaii did worse than anywhere in the nation except D.C.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking... You got to be realistic. Here in the 50th state, Trump does the worst, except for D.C. DeJuice goes down. None of our challengers against the Democrats unseat anyone.
Mm-hmm.
None of them even win on a one-on-one for an open seat, like someone's retiring and they got a Democrat and Republican both going for that seat, lost. All the promises we heard from party leaders locally, we're going to get two or three more senators or four, five, six more in the state house. We end up with two less. So it was a net loss of two, and anyone who's been to the HIRA website can see the chart where just two decades ago we had 20-something people in state legislature, and now we're down to just six. So what happened there is just to understand what a party organization is, you have a state party. That's one part of the organization with a bunch of people supposedly as officers, members, volunteers, staff, whatever. Below that in Hawaii, we have four counties. So there's four county parties, party committees. Mm-hmm. Below that, there we have 51 state districts in Hawaii. There's supposed to be 51, you know, really strong organizations out there recruiting people, going door-to-door and all that stuff, helping candidates and what have you. And then below that, we all know we vote in a precinct, right? Even if you mail them. There's 246 of those. Those are supposed to be these powerful things. Now, on the Democrat side, they take that seriously here in Hawaii, that they are organized. Republican side, they do not want it to get organized for, I mean, it depends which conspiracy theory you believe, but they're so dysfunctional. They just want a few active people, enough to get themselves reelected as party officers every year. Then when it comes time for an election, the call went out. We knew Stanley Chang was going to run a strong campaign against Sam Sloan a year ago or more. We knew that. And his campaign put out the word, please help. But almost everybody was diverted from that area's Republicans to DeJoux. So we got all in on DeJoux. Mm-hmm. Same thing happened up on the North Shore with Poha. So you got these two guys that are left to just slog it out for themselves against a Democrat machine, against a well-funded Stanley Chang campaign in that case. And no wonder they lost. As Sam Sloan, incredible name recognition, but you get a guy who was a city councilman, Stanley Chang, some degree of name recognition, spending triple what Sloan did, walking every door, lots of volunteers, lots of visibility. Ben Cayetano's wife is sign-waving for him. I mean, they were all in to get rid of the one last Republican in the state Senate. You would think when Fritz Rolfing, Miriam Helwike, and Gene Ward, the three top leaders of the state party, say, we know that Sam's under the gun, he's in trouble, we know that. Well, that was the beginning and the ending of anything they did.
Yeah, one unique observation is that while they were, Chang was being supported by the Cayetanos.
Yeah.
Cayetanos were also supporting
Sloan with the rail and DeJoux. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, talking about strange bedfellows, but these are, Cayetano is outside of the government now. Yes, he was the governor and what have you.
Right.
But this move, and so what it does is, yes, it increases the number of Democrats and in control.
Yes.
But that means, let's go back to HB 444.
Yes.
How they drug their feet. They didn't have any reason to go slugging and slogging and dragging their ass and voting that in.
Yeah.
They set it up and let their outrage go because the evangelicals within the Democratic Party, who also gets in the bedroom of people and where it is in their business, in their relationships, and then point the finger. Well, it's the Republicans who don't want this. McDermott, Gene Ward.
Right.
No, it's the Democrats who also are in the closet with their real honesty. You see, we don't really know what they think, and they're evangelical. Many of them. You know, what was the gentleman's name at City Council?
Gary O'Keefe.
I mean, this guy, you walk in his office, he says, you know, how are you with the Lord? What do you mean?
Yeah.
For me, I'm from Mississippi. Early morning breakfast is hold the lard and pass the biscuits, you know, for me. But he wants to have a prayer session. Oh, come on in. And up there at HB building, they have a prayer sessions or used to have prayer. Right. And then they say, but look at the Republicans. And then they've failed to vote timely and wisely on HB 44, same-sex marriage and all. It was dragged out.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Oh, yeah.
Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments or questions.
Hey, what's up, Carol Cox?
Not much. How are you doing? You have a question?
Not really. I want
to... Okay. Thank you. No questions, no answers.
Well, I think what he was trying to ask is... is it safe to assume that within the four walls of the state capitol and city hall and the county councils on each island are a mix of politicians that believe just about anything you can imagine any politician on any side would believe in? Yes. The answer is yes. The down there, you've got a mixed bag of people on both parties from the left and the right. Probably one of the biggest urban legends that's actually true is that there are many politicians on the Democrat side here in Hawaii who would probably be Republicans if it was possible to get elected as a Republican.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's not just the social conservatives. They're fiscal conservatives. They're people with other, you know, views on a lot of the public policy issues here, economic things like the Jones Act and rail and what have you. So, but increasingly, they are under assault by the very strong progressive movement that's taking over the Democrat Party nationally and even here in Hawaii. I mean, you've got longtime Democrat legislators who are being challenged by the Bernie Sanders and progressive wing of the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party in Hawaii now is led by the head of the Bernie Sanders campaign for Hawaii. So, I mean, there's going to be, in the same way that those of us who are conservative are trying to fix our Republican Party and make it actually recognizable as Republicans, there are folks on the Democrat side very actively trying to make it seem much more like the Democrat Party, because you'd think 62 years in charge, Democrats would have Hawaii figured out, fixed, running like a dream, right? And everybody living a great standard of living. It's not that way. You ask progressives that are trying to take over the Democrat Party, and their answer is, well, we're not doing the pure Democrat socialism that we should be doing. You know, we're compromising it too much. There's too much of this big business, corporate banker compromising and closet conservatism in our party. We need to exercise that and get it out, and we need to be pure Democrat. And I gotta tell you, you know, driving past the protesters that are just having a hard time accepting that Hillary lost, you know, they're shouting things like, Nazi, Trump's a Nazi, Nazi, Nazi. Well, if they'd bothered to pay attention when they were in school, maybe even today they're, tomorrow they're supposed to be in school, Nazi's short for National Socialism. Mm-hmm. And these guys are preaching socialism. They want socialism. They want the mommy party, the Democrats, to take care of them.
But they don't want the gas chamber.
Well,
they don't want that. See, Auschwitz, and that's a big difference. Even though, you know, just in a candid cane way, you serve that up. Let's remind ourselves.
Well, those particular Nazis believed in that.
But when and where did they present themselves as what they really their real intentions are? Was it just a fever that they decided, well, let's start killing all Jews?
Right.
Or was it just a bunch of sick folk who call themselves Nazis and socialists and whatever? But still, the bottom line is that millions of people died from stupid acts.
It's
such
horrible.
As on the part of those people.
Completely horrible. But it does take away, though, from the fact that they were still socialists who wanted big government. Government control of your life.
Does that mean that the Aryan race has a right to go and smoke them and kill them?
I don't think I know anybody who would ever agree with that. It's horrible.
Yeah.
But to think that these Aryans would have wanted socialism, the failed economic model of, it's easy for us to say now, 2020 hindsight's failed everywhere, right?
Yeah.
Although you've got these people in America that really want to try it here, as if maybe because we have more industry and more money, we can get socialism working right, unlike Cuba or.
Yeah. But let somewhere. Me before I lose this point, the Democrat Party. This is what's disturbing, and I say that all the people that are interested in politics and America's future should take a close look at Hawaii, because they're in. I'm no way near. Accepting Trump, I believe what he did, and we'll talk more about that, is horrendous.
Yeah.
And I don't care to what degree, you know, racism is racism and sickness is sickness. But the Democrats here, see, many of them are nervous that talk about it, and they're very careful to be so, because here we vote in ethnic blocks.
Oh, we do.
We hire based on ethnicity, you see, in this state. And so the reason many of them are so fearful, and I think I would be doing a disservice if I wasn't honest about it, whether you're gay, black, or Latin, or a person from Hawaiian culture or Micronesian, you don't get nothing. And the ethnic bloc votes. And so this is why they know how much they should fear this new vote, because they are already experienced and experts at discriminating and practicing racism within their own ranks, within their own state government.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
A person working in the army, serving in the army here, gets out, if he's black, he got a chance of getting a job in state office and city office as a snowball in hell.
Yes.
You know, but don't let them know that you and I know that, because people get nervous for a real reason, you know, because they know the impact. And if they have the education, well, they discriminate. Let's
Oh, please.
Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments or question.
Hi, Carol.
Yes. Yes.
Hi. I don't know if you guys are talking about the elections or the post-election.
Aren't you listening to the show, bro?
just got to the show.
Okay. Well, we're talking about everything under the sun. Hold on. Hold your thoughts there. And caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment or question.
How are you? I've come to the conclusion that I'm trying to figure out, with all this immigration talk, is black people in this country immigrants, non-immigrants? I'm talking about historically. I'd say the black people are not immigrants to this country. And the reason I say that is because when we were brought here, we were not immigrants. But yet, I don't know how to define it. All I know is that we did not come here as immigrants.
Well, if I can...
That's a very
hold on now.
Concept.
Right.
I will listen off the air, though.
Okay? Thank you, caller.
Well, if I may chime in on that one. Technically, an immigrant is someone who chooses to migrate from one nation to another. There's some form of choice. Even if they're forced to leave, as a migrant is, an immigrant generally is someone who chooses to leave. So if you're referring to African Americans, yeah, in that context, they technically were not immigrants. There was no choice involved.
Technically, they were not immigrants because they were slaves, brother.
Right.
Let's quit beating around the bush like we're going to a Christmas parade. Yeah. They were brought here. We were brought here against our will. Well, there's no technicality.
Right.
I'm just poking at you, brother.
Everything.
Right.
So there's an immigrant has choice. An immigrant makes a decision consciously. Right. And an immigrant has, even if an immigrant comes here with no money, it doesn't matter. They still chose to come to this country. African Americans did not choose to come to the country. Also, the aspect of immigration in regards to African Americans, what the 14th Amendment did was it created citizenship, really the concept of citizenship, in a way that was more clearly defined than it had been before in many respects.
Well, let me, and Eric, I'll let you. Thanks. Well, let's be careful to define this in that. Every African, quote, African-American that we see walking around on the streets now and living in our neighborhoods and are not brought over on the ship. And some of them have in recent times migrated, immigrated because of the brain drain, and they were smart and they got good jobs and they came here. So don't want everybody thinking that every time you look at an African-American, he came over here in the belly of a ship. Some of them actually flew first class.
I think what the caller was referring to was the status of black people, native-born black people in the United States, and in historic, as opposed to recent immigrants.
Well.
And if you actually, it is true that there are Africans immigrating. Actually, the most educated immigrants to the United States are African people. They are the most educated immigrants of all the immigrant groups to come here to this country, which is never talked about.
Sure.
What a shock.
If I may, I think going back to the first caller and tying into what the current caller is saying, I really have seen so much hysteria the past few days, so much hysteria. I thought there was hysteria during the campaign, but now there's even more hysteria. There is no need for us to even think about who among us that's born and raised here, for instance, is a citizen or not, or immigrant or not, or legal or not. I mean, most people in the United States, it's completely clear, should be here. There's no question about it. There's no question about whether African Americans should be here, or anybody that legally immigrated under the current immigration laws should be here. I mean, there's no question about that. The hysteria of feeling like you don't belong anymore, or are they going to send me back, this sort of thing. Really what we're talking about has been magnified from a certain percentage of the population that's been whipped up into a furor by liberals and Democrats and special interest groups that have their own agenda. And what is their agenda? Their agenda is to create an open borders America. What an open borders America means is any country in the world can export their poverty to America and we'll take care of it. Now, I would say, since really the immigration issue in America, it was mostly about illegal Mexican immigration and South American immigration, and a little bit about Syrian refugees, but mostly it was still about illegal immigrants from Mexico. So let's just cut right to it. Now, in that situation, if we really love our Latino brothers and sisters, shouldn't the one thing we say before anything else about this issue is, when is the Mexican government going to get its act together? Why is it that they're such a poorly run country with so much corruption and so little regard for human life that it's like Hawaii on steroids, the number of people who are living hand to mouth down there and having to risk life and limb to cross the border for a better life. And it keeps happening generation after generation where nobody seems to mind how poorly run Mexico is and how their own population says it sucks so bad they're going to risk letting their kids even cross the border all alone for hope of a better life. So before we talk about anything about the rights and immigration status, let's cut right to it. Mexico sucks as a governed country. The government sucks. They are like Democrats out of control with so much corruption and so much power and so little regard for their own citizens. They've allowed this to fester. And so what we have now is a very politically correct culture in our country where we're supposed to say it's totally cool for another country to export its poverty to America.
You and I should package that and try selling it. That sounds some good BS.
No, it's true.
It probably plants will go good.
Let's turn it around. Let's just say that Mexico is America, and we're living in a poorer nation. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't we feel ashamed that we were doing such a poor job running our country that everyone had to leave?
No, we wouldn't feel ashamed because we relied on... See, there's a great lie here being told, and everybody skips over that lie. Take California, for example.
Sure.
Anybody that had a little money in California, Republicans that I knew, had Mexican yard guards and farmers and picking the tomatoes and the peppers and all, because they don't want to get their hands dirty. They want to be out there chasing the chicks and flying the jets and planes.
Okay.
You understand?
So that makes it okay?
No, it does not make it okay. It does, it begs the question is, when is the Republican Party going to get off that crap and just stop glancing over things and take ownership that a lot of the people here, when you say an immigrant, America, it's a known fact. We've abused everybody. And in South America, we've ripped it apart in shreds and embedded all kinds of political factions to upset that. So, and then we get the luxury of sitting back here on KWAI 1080 AM with Carol Cox and Eric Ryan, and we get to skip over and say things as if, like, well, this is the gospel.
Well, there's no skipping here. We cannot afford the amount of money it would cost to take care of everyone else's problems. We just can't. And you can't suddenly make us afford it by saying that you think that we're responsible for all of the world's problems, because we're not.
First and foremost, let me just chime in here, because I've heard this really...
Don't take too long. Go ahead.
So let me just chime in here by saying that, first of all, it's premise, his view of immigration or the analysis of immigration is predicated not on immigration itself, but supposedly on the failings or lack of strength of Mexico.
That's why they're leaving. They're not sticking around there because it's so well run.
Hold on. We're not... The United States' responsibility is not to make sure that Mexico is a well-run country. Whether Mexico is a well-run country or not is not the responsibility of the United States.
That's your opinion.
It's the responsibility of anyone else.
That's your opinion.
Immigration has nothing to do with what the U.S. will view in terms of countries and how their internal operations are.
Not true.
Immigration is about the migration of peoples from one nation to another.
That's a nice dictionary definition, but it's not true. It's not true.
The issue at hand is not whether Mexico is a wonderful country or not. It may be well run, it may be poorly run. That's not the issue.
It is.
The issue are the people that are coming here, and how do you deal with them? It's true with any other country, whether it's South American countries, whether it's Syria, whether it's countries in the Middle East. People are fleeing from wars, whether those are civil wars or whether there's wars involving other nations.
Right.
Okay, hold on.
Well, why don't they go to Saudi Arabia? Is a good place for them to go to.
Whether a country sucks or not.
Well, it does. No, the country doesn't suck. Its government sucks. The government sucks.
Hold on, wait.
If you want to fix Mexico's problems, I would suggest that you get off your butt, go to Mexico, and start lobbying for change in that country.
You'd probably get shot if I went there.
But fixing Mexico in the United States.
Al, Al, you're starting to sound like the other folks that just keep talking. And the reality is nobody has a right. Mexico is a sovereign nation. And for anyone to suggest that Mexican people are bad in any to any degree, then there's one thing that we practice here in America, and that a person from Mexico can actually, a citizen from Mexico, can join our army and then become a citizen. So that's the problem with being foul-mouthed and even peripherally talking about race and then skirting the issue and inserting some opinions that ain't worth a damn. And that, like, it's the gospel, but the reality is all around us. The first lady now in the White House is going to be an immigrant.
She's an immigrant, a legal immigrant.
I don't care about that.
And I know that, neither does the caller.
How do you know
but you
she's
have to
legal.
Care.
Did you check her papers?
I think it's unfashionable these days to check people's papers.
But see, and then we go back, you're right, because it reminds us of another guy who went and called the president of these United States and told him and publicly, you're not an American. You're not born here. You have no right to serve as the people. Now,
I think he was just asking him to prove it.
No.
That's, he actually said the quote you just gave?
It's not.
Exactly.
But again, profiling the president. Right. If that, hey, there's a black guy. Did you see the black guy, that nigger up there in the White House? Donald, can you go by and just ask him? You don't have a right to ask him that.
We can obsess about celebrity politicians, but honest to goodness, what really happened earlier this week was not Hillary or Trump. It was what the people voted for because of what they either were voting against.
We'll talk about that. Hold on.
Yeah.
Well, what it was.
Hold on, Al.
A portion of the people in this country voted for.
Al, you got to learn and listen, bro.
I wasn't listening.
Yeah, but
actually, most elections come down to portions.
That's right.
I haven't seen a 100% election yet, except Iran or something.
Okay, hey, we got other people calling in, so if you guys, I know you got opinions and all, but this is not a Republican picnic.
Well, a portion of it is.
Well, I'm not a Republican.
There's a portion and a non-portion.
Eric is not a bad guy, so, he's just a Republican. Hold on here. Caller, thank you for calling. Your question, please.
Sorry, it's more of a comment.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I was kind of agreeing with this guy on the radio station.
You turn your phone or your radio down.
Okay, is that better?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead real quick because we're coming on. You can call back in the next hour. Go ahead.
The claim that Mexico sucks, that's why we shouldn't take the immigrants, is such a short-sighted and narrow view of history that I'm kind of amazed that you said that. I mean, what's your opinion on NAFTA?
Well, yeah, that's why Eric is. Sure. It's why I invite him. He's willing to talk, and we're so tired of us asking questions, talking amongst ourselves.
All right. Well, just as Carol wants to blur legal immigration and illegal immigration as to just immigration, and therefore, if you're against illegal, you're against all immigrants, which is not true. No one is advocating stopping legal immigration. There is this idea that I just said Mexico sucks, which, of course, I didn't. I said the Mexican government sucks. The way they run things down there sucks.
No, you stated Mexico sucks. You stated that deliberately. So don't pull a Trump here, okay?
Okay. But actually, Carol, you can back me up on this. Anyway, the point is their government is horribly run. It's rife with corruption. The leaders of that country do not care about how poor the quality of life is for the people living there.
Wait.
And that's why this...
You're smearing my country now. That's America.
Huh?
What
well, minute. You're saying the celebrities leaving America in droves since Trump got elected is equal to the number of people emigrating from Mexico?
No, I see. One nice thing about my mind, I don't do drugs, and I don't. I try not to digest lies, and
which lie are you talking about?
The whole thing is a big lie because, first of all, if we're going to take back America, we got to take the liars and cheats and the guys that swindled us and sit them down and say, we see through you. And then all your advocates, we see through that. Right. And we will call you on it, and we'll have conversation. But I can only submit to you that we have our own rules, and you represented that I said that all the immigration is the same. No, I said that when we see people here, think about how they were brought here, many of them, doing the yards and picking the pineapples and picking...
When you say brought? You mean someone sent a plane for them?
Oh, yeah. They used to import workers.
Okay. They
used, yeah.
Well, listen.
They're legally imported all the way up to the potato fields.
And we used to be run by Britain. There's a lot of ancient history. But right now, we have current immigration law, which is being broken left and right.
Hold on.
And making it hard to keep control of this country.
Carla, thank you. Go ahead with your comment.
Yeah, I have about three things I'd like to comment on. First of all, I think the characterization of the socialist between the Nazis and the more liberal wing, that is so misleading and misunderstood. The Nazi socialism is Machiavellian. My nation, right or wrong, we got to be the strongest, especially militarily. And so we will direct our government money, our socialist money, so to speak, to that cause. Which turned out to be the Aryan cause and the might of the Nazis and stuff. In other words, it's the opposite of the liberal socialism, which is the greatest good for the greatest number. The Nazi is the greatest good for the power and might and militarism and the wealth of the and the supporting the Aryan superior people.
You know, I wish you could hear yourself, because what you're saying is, in one case, you want government to be so strong it can take everything from you, and in the other case, you believe that government should be so strong it can take everything from you. You just hope that they're nice people that are running it. Well, but where do they get their power from? Where do they get their power from?
Hold on, guys. This isn't the other CNNs. And
not Crossfire?
That. Everybody, if we can't get our words in today, we'll come back next week. So I hate stupidity. So I just got to tell you, when you talk over one another, it gets nothing. You might as well flush your toilet and put your microphone to it. And so... go ahead, ma'am. And the other caller, hold on there. Go ahead.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, whatever he said, I said I didn't say that at all. I didn't even, I didn't come close to that. I'm just saying that there is a huge difference. In fact, the opposite difference. And it's just where the country, where the powers that be want the country to go, in what direction.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing about Mexico, their government does seem to be in shambles, but the problem is that the Americans are the biggest drug consumers, narcotics, in the world. So the drugs that are coming over to America are because America has got such a huge drug problem. And of course, now we're talking about gangs and cartels and all those things that make Mexico such a problem.
Are we requiring that they make those drugs and sneak them into the country?
No, I'm not saying that.
No, but I got the feeling you were saying that.
Well,
to make it like that wasn't their fault at all.
Yeah, we're going to...
I don't think in terms of opposites.
Yeah.
At all. I think that there's a kind of a mixture. It's not black or white, it's gray.
Yeah.
But I am saying that a lot of Mexicans' problems are related to the drug rings and that kind of thing. The drug end of it, and the drugs are being brought into America, and Americans are the greatest drug consumers.
Okay, hold on. We're going to have to take a break. We'll be right back. Please call back, and the other caller, I disconnected you, and now you can call back, so we'll be back, and... Hold your thoughts.
All right.
And your water.
Friendly sky without leaving the ground. The rest of the folks are tired and weary and have laid their bodies down. I go to the place where danger waits and it's bound to forsake me. So stupid minded, but I go crazy when I can't find it. In the morning I'll be alright, my friends. Soon the night will bring the pains again. Woo, flying high in the friendly sky without ever leaving the ground. Seen nothing but trouble, baby. Paraphernalia is my bane. There's a place where the feeling awaits me. Self-destruction's in my hand. So stupid minded, but I go crazy when I can't find it. I know I hooked my friend.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, the second half. My guest is Mr. Eric Ryan from HERA, Hawaii Republican Assembly, and he is sharing his thoughts, and we're sharing our thoughts, and we're cross-firing. Or what?
What an election it was.
Why did you have any more of that whiskey?
Oh, didn't I slide it over there? Empty bottle?
No, the conversation is intoxicating enough.
Touche.
This is a subject that we're all intoxicated with, right? So.
Well, it's every 4 years. It's a communal experience. That's communal brings us together, but it seems to have divided us too. And I think we'll get over it.
Well, the issue is in Hawaii here.
Yeah.
I think that it's easy to say many things because, again, there is so much corruption and so much racism within government here. Yeah. The practices from the hands of the Democrats. In that the hatred and the denial of gays and other lesbians and transgender
and we
already know that on the Republican side there's Gene Ward. He's leading the fight on God's behalf.
I wouldn't even give him that much credit, but I know what you're saying is he seems to represent what you see on the mainland with these social conservatives.
I was wondering, do you think he had a meeting with God or something? Because he seems so endeared with these anti-gay lesbian things. Is there like another Ten Commandments somewhere on a stone tablet or that he received?
I know where you're going, but I'll be honest with you. When it comes to Gene Ward, I think he puts his finger in his mouth, holds that wet finger in the wind, and sees which way the wind is going to blow. Because I'll tell you, if you read like his newsletters to the community, it doesn't reflect any of these political issues. It's stuff just related to his little neighborhood. Once in a while, he'll pipe up on some issue because the news media will stick a microphone in his face in the middle of some hot-button thing, right? And once in a while, I mean, a broken clock's right twice a day, right? And so once in a while, he'd be on the right side of things, a lot of time on the wrong side. But I'll tell you that the idea that he represents the strongest, most impressive of, say, social conservatives or fiscal conservatives is not a well-documented notion. I can understand how easily offended it would be. But again, the power is all with the Democrats here in Hawaii.
But again, the point is with this is that even though he has little power, he impacts the lives of others. Not because God gave him a message, because he hadn't shared that message with me, and I would love it. He won't even respond to my emails.
Yeah.
But you intervene in people's lives as if you're an authority and have that right. And he may be insignificant to the Republican Party, but right. the scar that he leaves in the lives of others while right. preaching that crap is what I'm speaking to. I would, if it was him or anybody right. else. And
you well, know. You mentioned Gary O'Keefe on the Democrat side, mm-hmm. and there are quite a few others that I think you would probably group together similarly. Clearly, the sands have shifted tremendously from the Bill 444 civil union days to the gay marriage days. Virtually the exact same group of politicians completely changed massively overnight to go from thinking it was a big deal to do civil unions to being, oh my gosh, let's be first in the nation to embrace this or something. And when you think about Hawaii was the first state in the nation. I mean, Pat Saiki, mm-hmm. top Republican person, who actually encouraged a state legislator to attack me physically recently. She was behind getting the abortion legalized in Hawaii, first in the nation back mm-hmm. in the early 70s.
And so, she's a Republican?
She's a Republican.
And so how does that set? Well, she still is on top.
The Republican Party of Hawaii is a mirror image of the Democrat Party with just a slightly different logo
so
right now.
Why does the National Party tolerate Psyche's presence and posturing as the head of the Republican Party and, right. and significant and influential without striking her? Because
right.
if you believe in abortions,
yes.
you don't believe in abortions,
right.
She would be subject to your wrath
right.
too, right?
right?
Why not?
The political parties are supposed to be bottom-up, run from the grassroots up. And too many times they're not, and certainly we found out with WikiLeaks that they were in the tank at the DNC, the Democrat National Committee, for Hillary and doing little things that really robbed Bernie Sanders of a fair fight. Those occasions do happen in both parties where there's some degree of top-down. So you ask, why hasn't there been a top-down correction of this out-of-step Pat Saiki or the Hawaii Party being, too liberal compared to the National Party? And honestly, the way the party is set up, the way that leaders get elected from the grassroots up, if you can just marshal enough dozens or hundreds of people to caucuses every 2 years within the party to pick leaders, you can run it for as long as you like.
Mm-hmm.
And the national leaders, it's kind of like, you're running a company and you want to have a store in all 50 states,
Mm-hmm.
Some stores are going to be better run than others, but you have the bragging rights of saying, we've got stores in all 50 states. Same with the national party.
Mm-hmm.
We have a party in all 50 states. Some are better than others. Some are more conservative than others. But, in Hawaii, it's the laughing stock of the nation, of the Republican Party, and not just because of its positions,
mm-hmm.
because of its ineffectiveness, its failure. And so, actually, it's so sad that you have people like Ward, Fukumoto, and others who are really just little mini celebrities in their community who are barely Republican.
Yeah.
They get reelected with like 50-60% because they've made it so that they are so well known in their districts. That's all they do, is become as known as possible. Anybody in politics will tell you it's about name identification.
Mm-hmm.
Someone does that vote, they're going to vote for the person they know the name of better, unless, of course, that person was just, convicted of rape or something. But, I mean, other than that, the better-known person gets elected. So we have a bunch of these micro-celebrities who, just a few days ago, several of them got reelected. Astounding margins, 50,
mm-hmm.
60, 70%. Not much of a Democratic challenge in those neighborhoods. But officially, our party is neutral on anything. These people who call themselves Republicans can be anything they want. They could be, in fact, one of them we have up on the North Shore, Lauren Cheap. I think she has a married name now, Lauren Cheap Matsumoto. Up there in Wailua, in that area. She's got on the conservative rating system, 100% meaning very conservative, zero being total liberal. She's only a 9% as judged by the votes she cast at the state legislature. She is to the left of most Democrats that she serves alongside of,
mm-hmm.
and yet she's a Republican, Miss Hawaii or something before that. So that is how freewheeling and unfixed our party is in terms of its beliefs here in Hawaii. But we have all the arguments on our side. Democrats are running this place. They've been running for 62 years. As a result of this election, people will be in office for 2 more years. By the next election, they'll run Hawaii for 64 years.
Probably 100 more because
yeah.
it, it's almost it suggests to me that, that right. the Republicans, though they scorn the what was it called, the when I'll think of it in a minute, but you have a right to have this, and you have a right that they should be in like politics.
Minority rights, you mean?
Yeah, minority rights. Yeah. The Republican Party suggests that, well, just because we have government matters, that we should own up, be part of that. We should be guaranteed affirmative action.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, we that's the affirmative action mindset. No. Like, you guys have taxed most people of color with this, when I say you guys, the Republican Party, because they want to do away with these affirmative action programs or whatever. And then in turn, you speak as though, well, affirmative action, we should be guaranteed a certain portion. No. If you kept your mouth shut and stayed out of people's bedrooms and kept the Bible to yourself and read it and you become spiritual, that's one thing. But when you cross the line, people run. They say, wait, you know, here's a guy telling me these things, and but his right. behavior. There's always a concerted effort, not unlike the Democrats. Yeah. They, too, have wheels and deals, and that's why we have the corruption we have.
Right. Well, you had that caller last week who asked, what can I do to help fix Hawaii? Should I be testifying, going down to hearings? Should I be writing letters to my congressman and my... In Hawaii, that would be a complete waste of time. All the big decisions are made in the back rooms, even the little ones. If there's money to be made, if there's power to be had, if there's a fear of losing some of that power or that money, those decisions are getting made before you even begin to put pen to paper and write that letter to your legislator. So check the campaign spending records. Follow the money, as Deep Throat warned us.
Caller, thank you for calling. Comment or question?
Thank you very much for taking my call. I might have been the person that you are speaking of. I have three sources,
oh, yes.
and very quickly, it can't happen here. It can happen here. And key features of a corporate state, common sectors. In 1935, private initiative, public risk all the time, take it private. God Almighty, no black magic. Profit comes from war and corporation, a larger military, condemn unchristian, return women to the homemakers, and more. But that is, it can't happen here in 1935.
Okay.
More, but let me give you corporations, state.
You gave that on the earlier show. You gave that same. I think they may have already heard it, Rich.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments or question.
All right, I'm back. And it's interesting now that we've kind of shifted, or the conversation shifted to Hawaii. I have to admit, there are a couple of things that are pretty accurate about what your guest is saying about the Republican Party here. The biggest problem with the Republican Party, for one thing, is they really don't have issues. You talked about issues in regards to Democrats. They don't have issues. I mean, the Republicans in Hawaii have been running on the same get rid of the excise tax issue for years and years and years. Get rid of the tax on food. Get rid of the tax on medicine. Nobody cares about the excise tax here. It's not important. People aren't dealing with the excise tax as their big economic issue. What they're dealing with is the cost of rent, cost of mortgages. They're dealing with wages that are low in many respects. They're also dealing with the fact there's been a tremendous, tremendous fight against raising the minimum wage in Hawaii. And it's a fight that's...
On the part... Whose part? Who was opposing?
Well, I mean, just look at the documentary, No Room
No, 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 no. I ain't going to look at it in a documentary.
No, no, no. I'm actually citing a point
I'm asking
in
you,
defensive here.
I'm asking you,
when
who...
When they interviewed Clayton Hee...
Oh, hold on. Who... You know,
in this documentary, when they interviewed Clayton Hee, he stated that he was trying, I don't know over how long a period, to raise the minimum wage in Hawaii. He barely was able to do it, or he wasn't able to do it as successfully as he would have liked. So there's opposition from it, not so much from Republicans, but even from Democrats and other interests here. Primarily.
Okay. All right. I was hoping we didn't end up pointing fingers at the Republicans, because I was going to say to you,
right.
the Democrats had an opportunity. They have
right.
a full hand.
That's what I'm saying.
A royal flush, and they played bad poker.
I agree. And the opposition for that, really, it's not so much Republicans, because Republicans are in the minority. It's really from the business community. It's really from the companies here who don't want to pay competitive or significant wages here in Hawaii. That's one of the reasons why we have economic problems here. It's the free market sector. It's the private sector. The private sector wants to keep wages down, and they want to keep costs and prices high.
And Caldwell
did. That's why we have low minimum wage here, even compared to the mainland. You look at places like Seattle and San Francisco and L.A. that have passed $15 minimum wage. There's no way that's going to be passed here. You would have to have a major fight to get that passed in Honolulu and to get it passed in Hawaii.
Okay.
Well, the one thing that's important to know about Hawaii is we don't print our own money here. The state of Hawaii doesn't print money. The city and county of Honolulu and the county of Maui, Kauai, and Hawaii, they don't print their own money. And people don't print their own money. So money doesn't really grow on trees. And Democrats, and I believe you're probably on the more liberal side, have a worldview that involves using government to force, say, the evil private sector to hand over as much money to the poor working people as possible, whereas people on the more conservative spectrum think that if we can only get economic growth really rocking, we can get people educated, moving up the ladder. You might start at a minimum wage, but if you're, you know, if you're all that, you work your way up and you make, you know, better money, and eventually at the, I'm still talking though.
Anti-minimum wage. They're against the minimum
wage.
And conservatives and libertarians are against the minimum wage. They're against having a minimum wage, period.
Well, you're probably a very strong advocate for that and maybe many other liberal positions, but the reason I'm here is to say that Democrats have had their dream fulfilled here in Hawaii with more than six decades of its policies. Now, just because a crooked state senator like he couldn't get, you know, the minimum wage passed as fast as he'd like or whatever, doesn't necessarily mean that there's that much money here in Hawaii to spread around. The fact that the Democrat Party, which calls all the shots here, has squeezed the economy and the people working in this economy so much that half of them are living paycheck to paycheck, and yet then want to act generous by, regulating how much people get paid as a bare minimum, without any regard to the fact that Hawaii has the most anti-business policies there is, a terrible public education system, a crumbling infrastructure, and a greedy elite of the Democrats and their buddies squeezing everybody with more and more taxes and more spending, more and more unfunded obligations. I mean, if you ask people at the HGEA or the Democrat Party what the purpose of government is, they see it as creating a middle class for Hawaii with government workers and people associated with the government. But the rest of us don't want a government to create endless pensions endless...
You mean this very tiny amount of people who are Republicans in Hawaii, because most people vote Democrat.
Yeah,
My point was that the private sector... Here's the reality.
No. There's no reality. There's what you're trying to say. We can't hog the conversation where there are other things we want to talk about.
We could actually stipulate the rest of the show that Mr. Lanier is right about absolutely everything, and we'll just go home and then read his book.
Okay,
that, of course, would be accurate.
We want to move on. There's so much more to be talking about because it sounds like you suffering from that same disease that the rest of the folks suffer here, is that the Republican Party is evil and the Democratic Party, they're kind of messed up.
What I pointed out was, before he went into his spiel about the party, what I mentioned was the economic situation
and
what the real problem was.
I understand.
I didn't mention parties.
No, I understand, but
that's the duality that your guest brought up.
No, my takeaway from this is that, let's call, what I try to do here is call a spade, and that's the way it is. I don't care, I have no friends in politics, trust very few people in politics, especially what I see here. There are people that can't pay their rent, there are people that are sleeping on the sidewalks, on the bridges, and in increasing numbers. We got a mayor who steals money, takes money, you understand, from a bank and never declares it, and he doesn't go to jail, but then he has a program here where he singles out the police chief in a racist fashion and project on that, and then they all say, look at Donald Trump. He's invoking racism into the game. You know, get rid of the chief of police, but he ain't guilty of anything yet. You see, so let's hold that thought, and we'll be right back. I'm going to get the next caller. Caller, thank you. Go ahead with your comment.
Thanks for taking my call for the second time. This is new. If we have a discussion, we have to define our terms. And if you say Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, Independent, difficult to determine what that is. I just have one question. If a person or a community or an agency, whatever, goes into business, private business, the purpose is to make money. If you have a group of people who form a government, supposedly it's to serve the people. Could your guest please elaborate on that? Thank you.
Well, my goodness, we have come so far from those ideals, especially on the government side. Yes, in business, which is what actually creates all of the wealth, large and small, that we all live on. I mean, government may print the money, but it doesn't generate anything that creates wealth. Business, yeah, is there for entrepreneurs and employees to work together to earn a living. And once upon a time, it used to be that you could earn a living and live the American dream with one spouse going to work, and the other didn't have to go to work. It was optional. We've come a long way from the ability of people to make a living. Government has grown so huge with its regulatory structures and its taxation and everything, it is increasingly hard to run a business that's small. So for all the people that denigrate, oh, my God, Walmart came in and it's terrible, I prefer small business, whatever. Well, it's hard with the economies of scale to exist as a small business anymore. You have to have a CPA team and a legal team and an HR team to run your little candy store because of the nature of government these days. And so you can almost only afford to stay in business as a larger entity with all these departments and lawyers and HR people and accountants and stuff keep you going. And that's because government, to justify its existence, just like Carol was saying, they'll put out all these straw men arguments, and they'll say, oh, this is terrible. You know, people need to make more money, so we need a rule about that. People need health care. We need a rule about that. People need to not have to work overtime unless they're paid time and a half. All these sound like great ideas, mm-hmm. but there ain't a single person down at the legislature or Congress or anybody actually crunching the numbers to see, well, gosh, is this going to make Hawaii a more anti-business place with fewer jobs and more people living on the streets, so that I can beat my chest and say, as a politician, I looked out for the little guy?
Well, I got an idea here. I want to overlay this and move it to the great discussion right now is what are we going to do? Mr. Trump's made some...
A lot of promises.
Great promises, or... they are called promises, but he placed great emphasis on them when he spoke them. He even gave time frames. See, it's one thing to claim you're going to do something,
yes,
but he set a time frame when he would get it done.
Yeah.
So, you being Republican, supporting and him, what's going to happen? Well, let me not say that because he might be successful.
Yes.
But along the way, if he fails to deliver in the time frame, will it be forgiveness? Will it be the willingness to explain away and then ask, borrow more time? Or will you guys hold the same test that you did for Barack Obama? And somewhere in there, I want to see and feel that human element. So share with us.
Well, first of all, let's be honest. The Barack Obama team, the Bernie Sanders team, the Hillary Clinton team.
Bernie ain't got nothing to do with
it. Oh, no, but I'm getting it. Well, actually, here in Hawaii, it does.
No. Let's take Trump and the brother.
Oh, I promise. I'm coming back to that. What I'm saying is the Democrat Party is alive and well in keeping Donald Trump aware of everything he ever said and did right now. I mean, they're out in the streets ever since the election. The Republicans at this point are withholding judgment, doing our best to ensure that the good things we liked that he promised and the things that merge with Republican philosophy generally are the things that really get acted on. But you and I chatted about this, I think, a little yesterday. The Donald Trump being off teleprompter for so long, and then he gets on the teleprompter, he did say a lot of things. He did a lot of very explicit things, and a lot of things that need to probably be reduced down to a first 100 days platform, a first 4 years kind of platform. And it's going to be a challenge, because we know that in the Congress, he's not really buddies with Mitch McConnell in the Senate or Paul Ryan in the House. They're going to now have to work together. They got competing visions on everything from immigration to taxes to other issues. So it's going to be tough. Now, I think what you're getting at is who is going to challenge Trump more?
No. Will it be
Republicans?
No. I'm beyond that. I'm saying when people support someone and advocate for them,
yes,
they are responsible for their remarks, their actions, and their future actions, and also their past behavior. So,
was there a particular thing in your mind?
Everything that he said had a date stamp on it. So, I want to hear from you, because I haven't spoken with many other Republicans.
Sure.
A natural response. None of this of Barack Obama and the Supremes and the Marvin Gaye or whoever. that's a standard answer. There were promises made.
Yes.
And then if you could speak to, do you believe, the other night on one of the shows there, David Axelrod, they were talking about Trump being a racist and pointing to those, and his behavior was that of a racist. And Axelrod says, well, wait a minute, I wouldn't call him a racist.
Right.
Does it matter if one calls him a racist or label him a racist when he is speaking the same vitriolic wording and speech toward other people of ethnicity? Does he need to be defended, or does he need to be have this pinned on his chest that these are his remarks?
Right.
Now, to get a vote, is the Republican Party willing to say a person can go into a crowded theater and scream fire, and then after everybody get hurt and they say, oh, well, it was just to get a laugh out of it? Well, are you guys that...
I don't feel put on the spot at all. Speaking for myself and a lot of conservatives and Republicans I know, and I think this is especially true, I know, living in recent America with political correctness, living in Hawaii with a bit of that too, just because you say the word, there's a Japanese friend of mine, doesn't make the sentence that follows a racist statement. I had lunch at this Mexican restaurant the other day, therefore everything I say because I use the word Mexican is suddenly bad. So what I'm getting at is, and I'm not trying to, I'll get to the juicy stuff in a sec, but too often, just because somebody singles out a person, an ethnic group, a race or something, to make a comment, to make a policy statement, to make an observation, to possibly even repudiate something that was said before, you're getting drawn into being accused of racism simply because you mentioned a race or ethnicity in your sentence.
So millions of people could be just stupid because someone mentioned, we're going to go eat at a Mexican restaurant, and they all heard that, and they say, you're a racist, Donald, for mentioning a Mexican restaurant.
Well, we had the guy call in, and he said that I was lambasted the entirety of Mexico and everyone living there, and I was clearly talking about the corrupt Mexican government.
Yeah.
And so some people take away and hear just what they want to hear because it feeds their narrative. And you and I both know that a large part of the Democrat strategy in the presidential election, and it worked its way into the congressional elections, was to demonize Republicans and Trump, and by extension everyone else with an R after their name, for being racists. Because, oh my God, the things he said, he's running as Republican, it's forever tarnished. And I'll tell you, it was a much more extreme conversation before he won. I mean, most people thought Hillary was going to win right up until 2:30 in the morning on the mainland and our time. And so people were already having these conversations of how can the Republican Party ever recover after Donald Trump was its president. People are going to forever think the party's tarnished, tainted. It's got no future. There's probably going to have to be a new party that rises up because this one's dead now because of all the things he said. And I'm not trying to say it's okay that he won. I'm just saying, but he did win.
Oh, no, he won. It's a Democratic
process.
Decisively. He won. I wouldn't say decisively, but...
Well, 30-something states to 10.
But that's Electoral College, you know, but
that's the way the states work, yeah.
But I think for myself, and yeah. I try to be level-headed, stand in the middle of the road and say, if you're right, right. you're right on the left. Right. If you're right, you're right on the right.
Right.
But it just seems to be, having been a product of a racist environment and a state that is right. practiced racism yeah. and force-feed you every day about racism,
right.
this is racist. And it's consistent. And to excuse...
Wait, and well, to what do you mean it plays
no,
to
no,
race?
No, no, no.
It
to,
plays to race.
I would beg of you to go and get a better example to equate it to if someone says a Mexican restaurant, then that's... We would then jump to the conclusion, see, that's racist.
You, it that, happens that, every day.
No, 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 no.
Oh, not, if you
no,
mention my no. Japanese friend...
No, no, that's
he's,
different.
He's silly.
No,
and so I
is,
said all
is,
Japanese
this
are silly.
This is what's racist, yeah. is that when we hear in this state... Well, you know, and quote, yeah. if you are a white male and you're running for office, get a Japanese wife or right. an Asian wife.
We'll throw a Hawaiian middle name in there.
Well, that's different. add on to that.
Yeah.
So that to me is offensive and racist.
Oh, I believe you.
But someone saying, well, we're going to go to the Colombian restaurant over here,
yeah.
then I don't expect some idiot yeah. that says, well, see? You're degrading the Colombians. You know they smuggle drugs. And this is apples and oranges.
Donald Trump.
And you got.
Well, that's why I just asked you for an example.
But for.
Which particular thing did he say that really bothered you the most?
All of it.
Well, that's not an answer. Wouldn't accept it from your callers?
No.
I got to
ask. I say all of it because it was inflammatory.
Yeah.
It was inaccurate. And then, you know, for example. This is the same guy now that went on a manhunt for the President of the United States to demand that he show his birth certificate.
It clearly bothers you, and it bothers a lot of people.
No, but does it not bother you?
Well, the thing is...
No, yes and no.
Well, the thing that bothers me about it is it never should have happened mm-hmm. at all, mm-hmm. period.
But who pays for that?
Well... Unfortunately, we all pay for the waste of time and waste of diversionary attention to it. From the day one until even now, it was an unnecessary issue.
Oh, really? But who raised it?
Actually, Hillary Clinton's campaign raised it first.
Let's
be honest.
Let's concede.
The Democrats put that out there.
I have an answer for you.
Yeah.
Let's concede. You're right that Hillary Clinton started.
Yes.
Does that make Donald Trump right to pick it up and run with it? Racism, if there's a racist bone laying on right. the sidewalk,
right.
and then Donald Trump does not have the etiquettes and the respect for people and society and humanity, that he could see a racist bone laying there and instead he picked it up?
I think it's useful to understand that not everyone saw his, and I'm not agreeing with it, but not everyone saw that challenge of his qualification for president as a race-oriented thing.
No,
but understandably, many people did because he was black, his father was from another country, and it seemed to...
He is black.
Huh?
He not was. He is black.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah. no, at the time it started.
But then leaving yeah. to some of the Republicans that I've heard,
yeah.
but he's half black and half white. So which side of him were you going to assault,
right.
Donald?
Well... Here's the thing. 4 years from now,
mm-hmm.
that issue, as bothersome as it is, as distracting as it was, as unnecessary as it was, is not going to put food on the table for a single person. It is a good way of dragging someone down because both sides do it, try and drag the other right. side's candidates down, and keep us from getting actual work done, policies changed, improvements made. And ultimately, the guy who goes to work tomorrow... And I'm not trying to belittle your concern. I'm just saying, ultimately, no law is going to get changed to legitimize doing that. And no law, nothing's going to come from that that's going to make someone earn more tomorrow or have a better chance of moving up the economic ladder or feeling more secure in their home or whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So these are important things to keep from happening again.
How do you don't have no control over your president? How can tomorrow morning he may say something else? Is there a squad that's going to run out and clean the sidewalks and say he didn't really mean that either.
Well, you know, Hillary with her deplorables comments.
Right. Well, that's okay. I mean,
Barack Obama saying that the white cop was racist because it just happened to be a black guy trying to break into his own house or whatever, and then automatically was the white cop's fault.
Wait.
I mean, come on. We know
what
happened
there.
Stop
for a minute.
We know what happened.
Stop for a minute. Loaded statement. A black guy trying to break into his own house. You see how dumb that sounds?
Well, because I'm encapsulating
the truth of that
story.
The quote, a black guy breaking into his own house. How can you diminish the ownership of that, snatch it away, and then reduce it to he's breaking into if he owns
Because as you and I
right,
both know,
No.
It wasn't known at the time he
but
had
if
ownership.
But it doesn't matter. That's why you don't react as a cop and just go strong arm. You sit back and you, wait.
It
now.
Turned out he wasn't strong arm.
Hold on.
The gentleman in question did not cooperate at all.
You're
was
running
very
ahead
angry.
Of the parade now. Okay. I'm asking. You stated a black man breaking into his home. I'm just trying to reflect, play a mirror for yourself.
Yeah. Because of what we know.
No, not you. Apparently, don't know much because you ain't listening to what I'm saying. Okay. A black man breaking into his own house.
Yes, it sounds ridiculous.
No, you made the statement. Now,
I did, on purpose.
If I'm black and I own the house, hell, I can drill a hole through the bottom of the floor if I want to. That's not breaking in. It would be stupid of me. It would cost me.
Right.
But so when you state things like that and then go, but we're not racist.
No, I deliberately say it because you and I both know the story looking backward and the facts of the story we know now. But at the time, if I was to describe it, in real time as it was happening, there's a police officer asking somebody who was seeming to be breaking into a house, do you live here? Or can you prove that you live here? And then it escalated, and the next thing you know, Obama takes the position that this racist cop was doing something really terrible.
Okay.
So you and I know, years later, was breaking into his own house. But at the time, in real time...
He was trying to gain entry because he had locked it. When you lock your car...
Yeah, but you break into it.
You do?
Well, if I had a Jimmy
a
spare
key... You see the use of the term. But for example, right. when you lay things out like that...
Yeah.
I'm sharing with you that when we equate racism to... saying going to a Mexican restaurant can be used as racist, and a black man breaking into his own house, you know.
Well, think of what I said. Breaking into his own house.
Right.
I am up front telling you I know it's his house and that he was being thought to have been breaking into
it. See, the negative connotation, breaking into, not gaining access to his house.
No. What I'm saying is I'm making light of the fact that it was a giant misunderstanding.
Well, but
because
see,
he was really just trying to get into his own house.
But here's a man that had 8 years in the office of president.
Yeah.
And along the way, his wife was attacked. And so that's all done. He served his 8 years.
No.
It was an attack. It was a racist assault, period. And we're not going to debate it.
No legitimate criticisms of the presidency?
No. Legitimate is one thing. he fell in many things in his administration.
Oh, yeah.
But when racism is in the picture and the reluctancy to speak about it. But again, Donald Trump made many statements, and that's where this started.
Oh, yeah.
And we're back to that point. So it ain't got anything to do with Mexican restaurants.
Right. Well, is there a chance, though, that people are misinterpreting some, not all, of his statements and taking the wrong way in the way that you just took what I said
not
the wrong way.
Not all 49 million. No, I didn't take it
you
wrong.
You did. You took it the wrong way. I was being...
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you thought I was saying something borderline racist there by saying a black man broke into his own house.
Not, I was pointing out to you to listen to that comment. You can't break into something. You can't...
It was being deliberately funny.
I dropped my wallet, and I can't be described as stealing my wallet on the sidewalk.
Unless you want to be funny.
Well, but see, we ain't being funny.
Well, the thing is, I took the policeman's point of view,
but
the professor's point of view, and I put it together,
okay.
And he was breaking into his own house.
But I submit that this country has a stronger fiber than all the nonsense.
Which is why I think most people know that there was a lot of overreaction and hype about the racism. It wasn't that there was none there. No one's saying there was none potentially there, but... To say it was all racism is a dramatic overreaction to what happened.
It was all racism, but in the exchange of conversation here, the point is, when if you're unwilling to call him out. And I would leave you with this, if you were to ask me, Southern guidance, and that is, two wrongs don't make a right. So Obama and Hillary may have been the worst people on the planet.
Right.
It still not give cause or justification on Trump's part to say and do what he speaks. See, and I think that's the disconnect. And right now, through hook and crook, political field, I don't think Hillary lost it. I think the Democrats lost it because they are just as corrupt and narrow-minded and bigoted as the Republican Party are being accused of. They have many examples, and we point them out. Hold on.
Yeah, please.
Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Okay, you two guys, break it up. Thank you for taking my call. Oh, you guys making me my blood boil. You know why? I know the story. I've been watching that story from day one. You know about the professor?
Yes.
It's the neighbor. You know why? You know, they kind of elite neighborhood, and I guess they were getting a lot of robberies, break-in, you know, the same old, right?
Yes.
Like we all do have.
Yeah.
Okay. She saw him, but in an angle where she did, and she didn't know him.
Right.
You see how neighbors now generation don't know who lives next door.
No.
Yeah. Really? So it was just the she meant well as a neighbor. She saw him breaking in. Well, apparently he think because that's his house, right? But she, as a neighbor, called the cops.
Yes.
She didn't confront him.
Right.
Okay. So when she called the officer, he came, and he confronted the guy, and he didn't know that was his house.
Right.
So the professor said, you know who I am? You know I'm so the professor, right?
That's true.
Attitude.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah. You know, I know the president of the United States. He started this whole thing, and guess what? He did call President Obama to complain, because the officer said, he doesn't know this guy. Who cares? He's doing his duty, right?
So now, let me, being that you want to join.
Stop.
Please. No, we don't have time for the finish your whole story.
My question is, that's why Obama came. He called Obama, and Obama did come out and say, oh, that officer acts stupidly. Especially when you're president of the United States.
Alrighty, well,
make that kind of comment.
Let me say this. Now that you've been able to say that, you see, this is the hatred that is stirred up, because instead of answering,
stop. With my own eyes and use the media. I mean, the people were involved. That's why he said, let's have them, you know, have a beer.
You want to talk? You want to talk? Just talk, or you want to hear? You know, the point is, I ask a question about Donald Trump's, and then we are talking about something that has played itself out over and over and over about what Obama said and did.
Right.
You understand?
Yeah.
So don't approach me that way. Right. If I talk about a specific point,
right.
Let's talk about that. Let's gravitate to that. Don't come back here with stupidity and talking about Mexican restaurants and
if I may, just real quick, am I on?
No, you're not.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. No. You talk about Mexican restaurant?
Well, no, he's referring to something I said earlier. But what I'm getting at is, way...
No, I just called to, because of that
the story,
part of news that I saw over and over again.
Okay, you told us that. There's so many new things.
Okay, no, that's all right. Okay, now I'll sign off.
All right, thank you.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Just real quick on that is I think most people believe President Obama made a mistake in that moment by being prejudgmental. And all I'm getting at...
You're going to have to spend the same amount of time talking about...
I'm heading to Trump right now.
Don't want to talk about Obama. That has been played out, and I'm not going to spend time...
And I'm not trying to do a diversion. Just listen to me.
You are doing a diversion.
No, I'm not. I'm segueing right now. In the same way that I think we forgive that mistake and don't assume everything bad about Obama, that he hates all white people because of incidents like that. Over on Trump's side, he's not a practiced politician. Words oftentimes came out of his mouth, poorly rehearsed, poorly thought through. He's just trying to convey, and I'm not a defender of his, mind you.
No, you're not defending
him. I'm not defending. No, goodness, no.
Then what are you doing?
What I'm just pointing out that these misunderstandings.
You're diluting the acts of a bigot and a racist.
No, I don't know.
No, comments and acts.
But I'm still
sorry.
Waiting for you to give one example that's true racism on something he actually did or said.
Well, just for one flipping remark, my African American over there.
Okay. So sentence.
No, see, this is the point. You asked me, and I just gave you one.
Was that guy at a restaurant?
No, I don't care if he was in the bathroom. But you understand, Eric, what I would say this, right. And you get some more time here.
Yeah.
This is what I would share with you.
Yeah.
We're not dealing with cardboard boxes or puppets. We're dealing with human beings.
Right.
Human beings that go to bed at night praying that they wake up in the morning, sure. And everything will be okay.
Yeah.
And then they try to live out their life. But when they are assailed,
yeah.
And grouped and assaulted, and their integrity and their just their being,
yes.
Is threatened through word, and history proves itself, the fervor and the fire that can start from this,
sure.
The flare-up, can be that of hatred and children yelling this and that and burning buildings and burning churches,
right.
Going into churches, shooting people.
Yeah.
If you can't connect, if you can easily incorporate what Barack Obama said about a whatever and then fail to adopt a position and openly discuss with honesty and speak specifically to,
right.
These comments about it, then there is no hope, and 49 million people,
right.
Voted differently. And these protests, are they all thin-skinned and sensitive? And just heard someone say that it was a Mexican restaurant?
Well, yes, on the latter point. But let me go to Trump on that. And the thing is, first thing I have to acknowledge right up front is you're a black man from Mississippi.
I'm not.
And I'm a white guy from Hawaii. And so here in Hawaii, even though you're correct that there are lots of weird ethnic racist things that happen here on a regular basis, for the most part, in my life, it's never been a big deal at all. And so
understand that.
Yeah, so what I can appreciate a lot of the symbolism and the I don't mean trigger words in the new sense. I mean the things that would set someone like you off, and knowing what the history and the meaning of that is. Whether or not Donald Trump is the things you're saying, I think what you're pointing out is he said them to trigger a response in what you think is his base to like him that much more because he said something that reminded them of better days from decades ago, and elect me and I'll take you back to that time.
He didn't invent the message. The people were already there.
Right.
And he just spoke a few words,
right.
That they seemed to share,
right.
And incorporate.
Right. Now, I'm not saying I agree.
And one
it.
Must be careful,
yeah.
Because it's inflammatory. And as,
right.
We're talking about the United States president.
Yeah.
And so, once again,
right.
There is this great effort on the part of many of the politicians.
Yeah.
Hillary peripherally spoke about,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, and Black Lives Matter too.
I was just going to bring that up. Absolutely.
But again,
pure manipulation.
I think the problem with this whole political thing, as I tried to allude to, spoke to earlier,
yeah.
Party, and we forget they're human beings and citizens.
Yeah.
And if we say that it's offensive, the other side don't have the responsibility of making excuses or trying to bridge to some nonsense down the road to, well,
right.
It's like this and it's like that. No, it's about a specific. So it's one thing, it's an insult initially.
Yeah.
Then it's a greater insult when you fail to even speak specifically to it without bringing in these other examples, you know, like, well, you know, Bozo is a clown. And, you know, we have a lot of clowns running around the community now,
yeah.
So you should, I think. And then, well, what about the question that I ask you? How about the hamburgers at the joint there,
right?
Right? So I think it's an effort,
right.
On the part of many,
right.
To divert.
Well, that's just it. The diversion is
on the part of everybody.
Yeah, well, and it's focusing in on symbolism, which may not have anything to do with public policy. And so the next 4 years, people have a right to say whether Trump did a decent job or not and chuck him out in 4 years, just like anyone else that's in office. But to suggest that all of the things that people are kind of upset about right now and the things that you've expressed...
Didn't suggest... Go ahead.
Yeah. Are necessarily going to find their way into public policy. I mean, whether or not you like Mexicans or don't like Mexicans, it's possible for reasonable people to believe we need to secure our border. But the people who are trying to keep this alive, that anyone that wants the border secured is a racist, they're doing so because they oppose the public policy of securing the border. So they will say anything even if there's no evidence of racism.
And I would say to this.
In fact, Albert Lanier is going to write tomorrow a story called Eric Ryan of HIRA Says Mexico Sucks. And he's going to quote me, and he's going to fill in a whole story about how I said it.
And then you're going to come back on my show and refute.
Well, I'll say 10 people read it, and why bother? But the point is, but seriously,
you're an evil man.
I'm just telling the truth. The fact is people on either side of this partisan divide, on issue after issue, have come to the point where we just demonize each other.
Right.
We look for the littlest thing we can take out of context,
right,
or just said wrong,
yeah,
and smash each other with it. But beneath it all, mm-hmm, is the fight for policy stands.
Right.
You know, the law, we were either for this law or against it.
So politics is greater of greater concern to America than the women's rights and the women's integrity.
Well, it depends what you mean.
And
you're just talking about one issue, right?
You're talking about one issue. I'm not a woman, but I can say that I believe that I've heard enough of them to say that it was offensive to them,
yeah,
and that a person running for president, they're not assured that he is going to be protecting their interests.
Well, that's why 100% of women voted against Trump.
Well,
100%,
you know,
right?
But then there were 52% of white women that did, or working white women. So you understand.
The point is that I think the reason he got elected, despite all of the things that offended people, is because they knew that underneath it, he had greater potential for fixing a lot of the problems in our political system and going against the establishment than Hillary did.
Yeah.
And ultimately, and think about it. He should not be president today, the things he said. 4 years ago, anyone else said that? They wouldn't have gotten away with it.
He would probably not if the Republicans had stood up to him and own up to that.
You know that many, many did. A ton of people distanced themselves.
Many of them didn't, because they huddle around him and go, hey, you know what? We got the Negroes on the run,
well,
and got the
here
Mexicans.
We go. Here we go.
Got the Mexicans. And you know what? Not many came to the voting poll. So I'm saying,
but they should have.
Well,
don't you think so? Because they were. It's clearly explained on the nightly news, night after night after night, that black people are going to go back to being second-class citizens. Every Mexican, legal or illegal, is going to be shipped back somewhere, and that all the celebrities that support Hillary are going to be banned from the country. You think they would have all voted?
Well,
they knew it was BS.
Here's what I would say. We have so much to learn.
Yeah.
And many of the politicians have so much to own up to.
Yeah.
And they must repent themselves once in a while and remind themselves that with all the rhetoric and all of that, they still are supposedly serving the people.
Yeah.
Period. And if someone say that's offensive to me, you don't have the right to sit there and justify and debate what it is that they and why they feel hurt. What good would be is that if you were to say, I understand your feeling.
Yeah.
Well, thank
That'd
you.
Be nice.
Thank you very much,
Carol.
You're going to come back and answer.
Recovery.
Okay. All right. We'll be back next week, folks. Thank you.
Happy Sunday.
Thanks, Eric.
Aloha.
When I was was in school, we used to sing it something like this. Listen here. Oh, beautiful far spacious skies, far amber waves of grain, far purple mountain majesties. Now, wait a minute. I'm talking about America. Sweet America. You know, God done shed his grace on thee. He crowned thy good. Yes, he did. Heavy brotherhood from sea to shining sea. You know, I wish I had somebody to hear me say this.